Hello, and pleasure to speak with such an interesting panel here. Great group. And before I begin, I want to go ahead and say I've got no financial relationships to disclose relative to this research. So I've got a lot to cover here in terms of talking about our bike lane research. I want to make a little bit of a pitch in terms of, and others already have, in terms of talking about cycling as a public health issue, and then talking a little bit about the infrastructure in terms of New York City and the cycling rates in New York City, and then get into the research that we conducted, our methodology, and some of our findings, and then our next steps. So, as you all are probably very familiar with this, in terms of the obesity issue, and one good reason for health departments and public health people to be promoting physical activity, I like to say to groups, imagine yourself 25 pounds heavier than you are right now, and basically that's what's happened to our country over the last few decades. The other thing to say about that is that obesity is not equally distributed across neighborhoods. We see much higher rates in low-income neighborhoods. In the neighborhood that I'm going to be talking about today, North and Central Brooklyn, it's almost 30% of adults are obese. But fortunately, I work at the New York City Health Department. We've got a commissioner who says it's not just about burning calories that physical activity is important. Physical activity has many benefits, from preventing colon cancer to reducing cognitive decline. There's no upper or lower limit to the benefit of physical activity. And physical activity is something, as the other presentations have noted, is influenced by the built environment. And basically, it's something that's been engineered out of our life. Now we have to think about how we can engineer it back into our life. One of the interesting things about active transportation is that, and cycling as active transportation, is that it's a way to integrate physical activity into one's daily routine.
Just left click on here.
Okay, great. Others were struggling with that, so I was trying to avoid that issue. And in terms of thinking about New York City and the New York City infrastructure, most people in thinking about New York City wouldn't immediately think about cycling, but more and more so, it is becoming a cycling town. We've made great investments in the infrastructure, and we've got lots of room to improve. About a quarter of all automobile trips in New York City are less than a mile. More than half are less than 3 miles, all easily bikeable. You can see that we've invested in building bike lanes and areas to cycle in the city, currently over 600 miles of bike lanes in New York City. And in the 3 years from 2006 to 2009, we installed more than 200 miles of bike lanes. Also, during that period, as the infrastructure has improved, we're seeing drastic improvements in the rate of commuter cycling into Lower Manhattan. Those rates have tripled since 2001, and it's expected by 2012, our 2007 commuter rates will double, and then they will triple shortly after that. With the change in the infrastructure, and we're seeing more and more commuters, we wanted to take this to the street level and then also look at what the impact is in terms of a low-income community in the outer borough. And so we were very interested in how the bike lanes were being used and how they were being misused. And so in my talk today, we're going to be discussing, you know, who's using the bike lanes, the safety issues, and we're also going to be highlighting some of the methodology that we used in our bike lane study. So I'm going to talk about two complementary studies that we conducted. One is a observational study in which we actually used video cameras. We used three video cameras looking at four different city blocks. Each site was videotaped for 10 hours for a total of 40 hours of filming time. And then in addition to that, we conducted an intercept survey in which we stood on the side of the road at the same sites and tried to convince the cyclists to stop and take our survey. It is a wonder what a water bottle can do, and one of those little flashy lights really do help to get people to stop. Our response rate was 43%, which was better than what I expected, but still not ideal. So in terms of our methodology, this is where our cameras were located. Previous research from the health department and other city agencies has shown that the vast majority of serious crashes with motor vehicles happen within 25 feet of the intersection. Actually 89% of fatalities happen within that 25 feet radius of the intersection. So camera one looks at that zone. Camera two is directed across traffic, and the role of camera two was to get the cycling characteristics and the motorist characteristics as they passed. We also had some ideas that we'd do some speed calculations, but haven't quite gotten to that yet. Camera three was directed back up the block to look at the behaviors that happened as people traveled down the block. And we were able to get the cyclist and motorist characteristics through the data from camera three. So this presentation will look at just the data from camera one and three. So in terms of what we saw, we actually saw quite a few cyclists out there. And overall, we saw about 2,500 cyclists crossing our intersections. So that averaged about one cyclist a minute. Going down our cycling streets, our survey streets, the rates varied both by site and also by time when we did the observational study. But we saw on average a cyclist once every 2 minutes. This map here shows with the green dots where our four study sites were. And that's in Bedford-Stuyvesant in central Brooklyn. The highlighted blue area is the community districts of north and central Brooklyn, which we'll be talking more about. And then the shades of tan show the frequency of the zip code of the surveyed cyclists. So you can see most of the cyclists are actually concentrated in that area, north and central Brooklyn. 69% of the cyclists were from north and central Brooklyn. That finding in itself was very important to community members. Community members had the opinion that the cyclists that were cycling in central Brooklyn were from other neighborhoods, and so this was an important thing for the community members to know about. So in the next few slides, what I'm going to do is I'm going to compare the characteristics of either the observed cyclists or the surveyed cyclists against the characteristics of residents in North and Central Brooklyn based upon the Health Department's 2009 telephone survey, in which we have estimates of these things by neighborhood. So you can see that bar on the far left, you can see in North and Central Brooklyn, greater proportion of women than men in North and Central Brooklyn. However, a much greater proportion of the cyclists that we observed and that we surveyed were male, 80% male, similar percentage for those that we surveyed. This looks at race ethnicity, same type of relationship. So here we see far more white cyclists than we would see in the neighborhood than our community residents. So in North and Central Brooklyn, only 5% of the residents are white. However, 46% of the cyclists that we observed were white. Again, here too, we see that there were no significant differences between the surveyed cyclists and the observed cyclists. This was an important thing for us in terms of feeling as though, at least on these measures of gender and race ethnicity, that it seemed like our surveyed cyclists were representative of those that were observed. So now I'm going to look at some health characteristics. This first one looks at body mass index. And here we see those cycling have far lower rates of overweight and obesity. In the neighborhood, 63% of residents are overweight or obese. For cyclists, it was 39%. In terms of self-reported health status, same type of relationship. 45% of residents report very good or excellent health. 71% of the cyclists report those categories. We asked cyclists about about their cycling experience. About two-thirds, 65%, said that they were that trip they were cycling for transportation. And those who cycle tend to cycle a lot. Again, almost two-thirds saying that they cycled five times or more in the past 7 days for 30 minutes or more. We also asked cyclists what they would do, what would encourage them to cycle more. Fewer vehicles stopping and driving in bicycle lanes was a popular response. As was more bicycle lanes. So in terms of safety conditions, 89% of the cyclists were actually biking in the bike lane or the buffer. And as I just mentioned, cyclists are saying that they want more bike lanes. We see them biking in the bike lanes. And they say that they actually are choosing streets based upon if there are bike lanes. However, we have some safety concerns. 71% of cyclists were not wearing helmets, much even higher rates, 97% of Hispanics and 92% of African Americans were not wearing helmets, and about 1 in 5 cyclists were biking against traffic. In terms of motor vehicles, about 10% of motor vehicles were driving at some point in the bike lane. So we observed one motor vehicle every 2 minutes driving in the bike lane. And in terms of motor vehicles stopped or parked in the bike lane, we saw that the bike lane was obstructed by a motor vehicle on average 6 minutes per hour, 10% of the time. So before concluding, I want to list some, you like that photo, huh? Yep, that's an obstruction. So possible biases in terms of selection. We were only looking on streets with bike lanes. As I say, low response rate in terms of completing the survey. The sites we chose may not be representative of the entire area, North and Central Brooklyn, or the city as a whole. The time periods that we chose in the season may not be representative. However, we feel like that we can conclude that biking, cycling becomes is an opportunity for physical activity in a low-income community. More needs to be done in terms of improving safety conditions, both in terms of cyclist behavior, in terms of helmet usage and biking in the correct direction, and also in motor vehicle behavior in terms of driving in the bike lanes and parking in the bike lanes. And we felt like this combination method of using both an intercept survey and in videotaping allowed us to get really detailed and objective data to then influence our policies and action steps. So I wanted to just highlight a few of the things that we're doing, and we do have copies of the report in the back, and I've got copies up here if you're interested in finding it taking one of those with you. That would be great. We think in terms of creating a neighborhood report as a first step in terms of beginning conversation with community members about it. We've also convened an advisory group that is setting up their own advocacy agenda. We are working in developing an active transportation health bulletin. And the other big thing is working towards, as referred to by earlier presenters, the interagency and nonprofit and community-based collaboration, developing a shared agenda in terms of creating healthier streets. And so thank you very much for your attention, and thank you to the co-authors and all the many people who've been involved in this research.
Question in the back?
Yeah, I appreciate the fact you mentioned any limitations that site selection might have been in question, but can you elaborate a little more on how you chose the particular sites? Because I'm sure that, I'm not as familiar with the area as you are, I'm sure there are many, many choices for intersections. I'm just curious about that.
Well, the first big cut was that we were we wanted to focus on a low-income community, predominantly minority community, in North and Central Brooklyn. So that limited our choice. And then, in addition to that, we then created a grid in terms of where bike lanes were, and then also those street characteristics. We stratified all of the bike lanes that were. That were under investigation with this are class two bike lanes, so just a striped bike lane, and then we also stratified by having a painted buffer as well. So we looked at those issues, and it was also informed by past injury data. Another question?
I have a kind of a two-part question. For the whites who were sort of interviewed for the sample, were they whites who are from the community, or were they whites who sort of moved into the neighborhood?
Right.
Kind of like
right. Do you know New? You must know New York. Yes. So both of those issues were involved. I would say we've got both effects going on. I would say the whites that move into Central Brooklyn are more likely to be whites who cycle. So we had that effect, and we do have some changes in terms of gentrification of the area, and then we also had many of the whites who were cycling through, who were interviewed, were cycling through as well. So both things were going on.
And the second part of my question, were you also, I know that you were tracking income in some ways, but were you tracking the SES of the cyclists?
No, we did not.
First, thanks for a very evocative slide. I really liked it.
Thank you.
I was just at a meeting in Europe where the bicycle lane was inside the parking lane.
Yes.
So that the parked cars, in effect, formed a protection and eliminated the double parking and a lot of the concerns. Have you looked at some of those issues? Because I think there's a huge amount we could be learning.
Right. So that is something that is being rolled out more and more in New York. That's what we are looking at as our best bike lane design, and it's a what we call a floating parking lane. We had none of those fitting that criteria in North and Central Brooklyn. But yes, it would be very interesting to do further analysis. Part of the reason of doing this study was to think about having a baseline in terms of understanding what is currently happening in terms of cycling rates and infrastructure and misuse, and then track that over time. So thank you. Do we have time for one more?
I think we're a little over time, but one last question.
Okay, go ahead.
I was interested if you asked any questions about or had any data about accidents or safety, because we know that it's not fit for an extreme corner helmet. Or AR, basically, doesn't like for helmets, but this issue of safety and the community, it's a big issue, and I just wondered if there's any interest or discussion in this community about that.
Indeed, and in fact, I presented yesterday on that very issue. So this was the more physical activity focused talk. Yesterday, we looked in terms of the safety issues, and this was a collaborative project with the injury prevention unit. And indeed, there are very concerning rates. In terms of 27% of cyclists actually report in the last 3 years having had a crash with a motor vehicle. 27% of our cyclists. It is interesting, yeah, and there's lots of work to be done on that. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.